Thank you both very much. I can say thank you, worship team, today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 26 through 55. However, the main focus will be on Mary's praise, which is at the end of this section. But I want to give us the entire context here. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the holy child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercies for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." This is the word of God. Thank you very much for coming. Please be seated. And let's pray. Lord, we need your grace this morning. I need your grace. Lord, I am in myself an unworthy and unfaithful vessel of yours. However, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be pleased to speak through me. Because of my faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of my sins, because of what he did for me on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. So I come to you in his name, asking for help this morning to present this word rightly. And I ask for your help also to feed your flock, Lord, with your truth. Help us to be made more and more into the image of your dear son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. It's so good to see all of you, and I'm so thankful that you're all here. Last week, the message was about John the Baptist. And as you might recall, I titled the message, "The One Who Prepared." And we concluded that message with the main point being this. I said, if you and I are going to have joy in the presence of God, both now and in heaven, and I said, if you and I are going to actually rejoice in what Christmas is really about, I concluded by saying this, it's also going to come through the same means of the same message that John the Baptist preached to prepare a people for Christ. And what was that? I said that we also must repent of the evil in our lives, and we also must produce fruit worthy of repentance, because that was John's message, and John was the one sent to prepare the way for Jesus. And this is how he prepared the way for Jesus, by preaching repentance and encouraging them to bear fruit worthy of repentance, meaning walking in obedience. I want to make the point this morning with our next person that we're going to focus on being Mary, and I've titled the message this morning, The One Who Praised. John the Baptist was the one who prepared. Mary is the one who praised. And I want to make the point that this praise of Mary that we just read, your Bible might have a heading above verse 46. Mine does. It says, Mary's Song of Praise, the Magnificat. We call it that because in Latin it starts with that word, Magnificat, which means it praises or it magnifies. That's what it means. She's talking about her soul. It magnifies my soul, the Lord. That's how it's read. That's how it reads in Latin. And so I want to make the point that this praise of Mary, which was immortalized in sacred scripture and therefore has become a part of sacred scripture, I want to make the point that this praise of hers is based on her love of scripture. This praise that poured out from her came from her love of God's word. And why that's important and why I'm making that the point of the message, we're going to unpack as we go along. But I want to show you that this praise of Mary was informed by her love of scripture and not necessarily something that was like zapped into her heart and mind from the Holy Spirit. All scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't bother me. All the joy out there in the hallway. Did you hear all that joy? It's just happy children. All scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, yes. All of it is. If it's in this book, it's because the Holy Spirit inspired it to be there. But Mary's praise differs from something that we might call prophecy. When it comes to prophecy, we're dealing with knowledge that was given to the individual that he or she didn't formally have. It was revelation that was zapped into the person. I'm going to use that word zapped. I just like it. It works. It's from the Greek zapeo, which means to zap. That's not true. but it's a supernatural thing. When God gives revelation to a person, knowledge to a person that he or she didn't formerly have, and then that person presents it, that's supernatural. It's a supernatural act. And that's usually it's really always what prophecy is. Someone pronouncing something that was not formerly known, and God gave it to that person, zapped it right into the person. We've got some examples of this, actually, from things that surrounded the birth of Christ. The Bible usually gives us a hint of when this special revelation from God is going to be given. It's all, so much joy, it's just flowing into the room even. So the Bible gives us a hint of when special revelation is given to a person. It usually does this by mentioning something about the Holy Spirit. I'm choosing my words carefully. I said the Bible usually gives us a hint of when this special revelation is going to be given to someone. It doesn't always do this. But in our examples, I want to point out, first of all, something that I read that you may have picked up on as I was reading through it in Luke 1, verses 41 through 45. I think we're going to have those on the screen behind me. So look at this part where Mary comes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says something, but before she says it, the Bible gives us a clue as to how and why she said it. Look at verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. How did she know that the baby within Mary's womb was her Lord? We might say, well, maybe Gabriel made it clear to Zechariah, and Zechariah told Elizabeth. Well, he would have had to write it down, because why? He was mute because he did not believe. But what we get in Scripture from Gabriel, maybe more was said, we don't know. But what we get from Scripture that Gabriel said to Zechariah was just that John the Baptist, this child, was going to go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Remember that from last week? But Gabriel never said, and by the way, Zechariah, the Lord I'm referring to is going to be born from your relative Mary. Yep, the unmarried one. Yep, the young one. That's the one I'm talking about. He never said that, at least not in sacred scripture. So how did Elizabeth know that Mary was carrying her Lord, apart from what it says right here? She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She received special knowledge that she did not have before, and she believed it. Let's look at another example, similar to this one. This happens after the birth of Jesus. This is when Jesus is presented in the temple. We get another example of someone given special knowledge that differs, I'm going to make the point, from what Mary praised. It's all going to come together. In Luke 2, verses 25 through 35, we get more of this Holy Spirit talk right before someone says something. Luke 2, 25 through 35, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. There's our first one. And it had been revealed to him, by who? By the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the, what? In the Spirit. He came in the Spirit into the temple, it says. So three times, the Spirit's giving knowledge to this man, the Spirit's leading this man. Even where to walk today, the Spirit is saying he was led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, circumcision, giving certain sacrifices, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Everyone else saw this young couple, Mary and Joseph, holding Jesus, walking into the temple, and thought, a young couple with a baby, big deal. He must be 8 days old. They're here to do the thing. Simeon sees that baby, scoops him up, and starts saying, your eyes have allowed me to see your salvation. And he's going to be revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. How did he know that? The word tells us here, by the Spirit. The Spirit made it clear to him, yes? Three different times. He also knows even more. Listen to what he says here. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. He was even saying things that even Mary and Joseph didn't know yet. Certain things. That's why they marveled. Otherwise it would have said, and Mary and Joseph agreed with him because they already knew that. They marveled. Why would they marvel? They didn't know it. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. That's future stuff. And for a sign that is opposed, look, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. He even knew about future emotions Mary would go through, watching her dear, blessed, unique son on the cross. So so that the thoughts of many of the hearts may be revealed. So these are two examples of both Elizabeth and Simeon, both prefaced with a mentioning of the Holy Spirit inspiring what they said, right? Again, supernatural things, not normal things, extraordinary things. Now, why am I laboring this point? I want to show you that this beautiful and eternally preserved praise from Mary was something that welled up within her out of her love for God that was informed by her knowledge of the Word of God. It's not prefaced by, and filled with the Holy Spirit, she said this. I am pointing this out because I want to show you that her praising God in the way that she did can also be done by us. Us normal people. Christians who simply love the Lord and are also informed by sacred scripture. Now, these other things that we read about Elizabeth and Simeon, we look at those and we say, wow, that's a miracle, supernatural revelation. Wow, I probably won't be mimicking that. And we read about it and we also marvel in it. But when we read Mary's wonderful Magnificat, it's beautiful. I want to let you know, you can praise God that way too. She praised God out of knowledge of Scripture, love for that scripture, and it welled up in her in this beautiful praise. How do I know that it was informed by sacred scripture? If you've studied this before, her praise, you know it's highly informed by another woman's praise from the Old Testament. And I want to show you that. Because if you haven't seen it before, get ready. It's pretty great. Remember the lady named Hannah? We specifically remember Hannah. I say we, I mean me and Amy, because, wait, I'm sorry, Amy and I. She's our language arts teacher, too. You know, she teaches grammar at our kitchen table. We're homeschoolers, and so she's been teaching them the right way, and so I don't want to be a bad example. Amy and I know this lady, Hannah, very well, too, because as you all might recall, we actually had trouble having children at first, and so we prayed for the Lord to give us a child, and he did. And it was a boy, our firstborn, and so we named him Samuel, because Hannah names her child Samuel, too, and she says, because I asked him of the Lord, because I asked the Lord for him. And so this is significant for us, too. Hannah prays after she has Samuel. And she gives this wonderful praise to God. And I want to make some comparisons. I made some slides. Let's look at this first slide, comparing Mary's praise of God and Hannah's praise of God. And I want to make the point that I believe Mary was so saturated with Scripture that this beautiful praise simply came from her love for Scripture. Her love for God and knowledge of God as she understood it from the Bible. So look what Mary says. My soul magnifies the Lord. What did Hannah say in 1 Samuel chapter 2? My heart exults in the Lord. Do you see that? We also hear Mary saying, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And what do we hear Hannah saying? Because I rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice, Savior, Mary says. Hannah, rejoice, salvation. Do you see? She's not simply repeating exactly what Hannah says, but boy, she sure is rhyming with her, isn't she? It's not an exact repetition, but it rhymes. She also says this, Mary, in our text in verse 49. She says, holy is his name, just like we sang in the song. And then what does Hannah say in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 2, there is none holy like the Lord. Do you see this? What Mary's doing we can also do. This beautiful praise that flows out of her, and it is beautiful. You can study it for days, weeks even. Ladies, Bible study, you can make a whole Bible study just on the Magnificat. And I believe there's actually tons of studies out there about it. It is informed by Scripture, though. It doesn't stop there. So in the next portions of these ladies' praises, they do a lot of comparison and contrasting between the mighty and the lowly, between the rich and the poor, between the proud and the humble. Their praises, and the next portions of their praises, are largely taken up by these things. Let's look at the next part of both of their praises. Look at this comparison, part two. And the order Mary chooses to mention certain words is the exact same order in which Hannah mentions those words. Look at the first one. In verse 51 of Luke chapter 1, Mary says he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Well, Hannah, talk no more so very proudly. So we got one mentioning the proud, the next mentioning the proud. We have Mary, he's brought down the mighty. And then Hannah, the bows of the mighty are broken. Then Mary mentions the hungry, has filled the hungry with good things. Well, Hannah happens to mention next, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. It's the same order. Do you see this? She's using the same words, and she's even using them in the same order. And then also, Mary says, the rich he has sent away empty, meaning it doesn't matter how rich they were. They're not rich anymore because now they're empty. And then what does Hannah actually say too? The Lord makes poor and makes rich. This is a repetition. It's not an exact repetition. It's rhyming because Mary loved Scripture and knew Scripture. And as a woman, she probably loved other women in Scriptures, and she would have known this. She would have known this, and it's made clear that she knew the Word of God. Because she's rhyming very much with the Word of God, and you and I can do this too in our praise. You and I can do this too. And especially at Christmas, I'm trying to encourage you, know the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, be saturated with the Scriptures. And that's how we can also be like Mary, who found favor with God. Isn't that neat? Had you ever seen that before? Guess how I learned it? By studying the Scriptures. It wasn't zapped into me. I studied and I learned, and now I'm simply showing you and saying, isn't this beautiful? We can do this too. As a teacher of the Scriptures, that's all that I do, really. Don't you know that when God's gifted someone to be a teacher, all that means is he's given that person a desire to study and learn and then an ability to show what he learned to other people. That's all I do. And you all pay me for that. Thank you very much. But what I'm trying to show you is I'm not that special. I'm simply studying and then showing. And you can do that too. And many of you do that. And isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Mary, this favored one, is what she's called by Gabriel. I want to also make another comparison between Mary and us. So she's called favored one back in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And this is, it's a very long Greek word, but it has in the root of that word the word grace. And when Gabriel mentions it to her and he calls her this favored one, it's in the feminine singular because she's female and she's just one person standing there. It means one who has been freely bestowed with favor. In my studies, I read this. It's used to describe the act of endowing someone with grace or favor. It implies a divine action where God imparts his grace upon an individual, making that person the recipient of his favor and blessings. This word, when he says, you favored one, it's only used two times in all of the New Testament. The first one for Mary when Gabriel says it to her. But then guess what? Paul uses it again when referring to all Christians who believe. Again, a comparison that Mary, though super special, a word used only of her and only again of Christians. I'm trying to show you again that, yes, Mary's super special, but we're also given that same favor in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Let me just read it to you. I didn't send them the reference to this just because I didn't know if I was going to use this, but I feel like using it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us. That phrase there, he has blessed us, that's just one Greek word. And it's the same type of word. It's basically just a different form since it's not speaking to a singular female at this point. It's worded a little bit different since it's now referring to all Christians. But it's the same Greek word. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us. Other translations translate it this way. Which he has freely given us. That's the NIV. Wherein he hath made us accepted. That's the King James. He has poured out on us. That's the New Living Translation. All these are getting at the main point that this same favor with which Mary was favored with, the same grace that was given to her, has also been given to us. Freely poured out on us. Made us accepted. Made us blessed. Conclusion is this. The main point is this. If you're going to have joy in the presence of God, both now and in heaven, and if you're going to actually rejoice in what Christmas is really about, it's also going to come through the same means that Mary incorporated. What were those means? It's going to come through your knowledge of the Word of God and the source where God has revealed himself to us is that very Word. It is special revelation from God. We simply read it, love it, believe it, and incorporate it. And from there, we praise God, just like Mary did. So study the scriptures. Look at these two images I made. Look at the first one. This is the point. The more you know about God, the more you praise God. You could also word it this way. The better you know God, the better you praise God. Study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. This is where praise comes from. That's where Mary's praise came from. I showed you that. It so rhymes with Hannah's. This is how we have joy in the presence of God, both now and in heaven. This is how you and I are actually going to praise God like Mary this Christmas. For what Christmas is really about. The fact that God favored us, even though we are very unfavorable. I look back at the old Cohen, and I wonder why God didn't wipe me out. I think about the old Cohen, and I think he should have been wiped out. Many times. I don't know why God was so patient with me, except for exactly what Butch mentioned earlier. He simply loved us. I, just in my state now, in my 45-year-old state, Amy says I'm getting grumpier the older I get. She's right. And I'm getting more impatient too with like foolish youth. it's hard for me to be around youth anymore, like foolish ones, I mean. I love my youth, of course, and I love the youth in this church, so don't worry. But like foolish youth, oh, I'm just like, ugh, get me away, ugh. So then when I think about myself back then, I think in the state I am now, a little bit more grumpy and a little less patient, I'm thinking, I would have wiped me out. Like the way I am now, I would be like, yeah, get rid of that fool. There's no hope for him. But God graced me with grace. God favored me. And I don't even know why, except that he's just good, which makes me praise him all the more, knowing what a wretch I was, that he would still send Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the perfect one, to die for this fool. And he did. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. Isn't that wonderful? We have a lot to praise him for. And if you think I don't praise him well enough or quite enough, study the scriptures. It will inform your praise. Amen? Amen. Seth, come forth. Father, thank you very much for the fact that you love us, and help us to praise you for that. Praise you more for that. Praise you better for that. So please help us be like Mary, this one who was favored, and therefore she praised you for what you did. And I pray, Lord, that you would please help us. I pray that you would help us to overcome the obstacles that keep us from studying. Help us to see through the doubts that maybe think us, that maybe make us think that it's not time to study, or I shouldn't study, or it's too hard to study. Lord, help us to overcome those lies and deceptions, and to love your word, and to take it in like food and drink. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing.